Afternoon Truth Wins team. 100 would be better. Better than what? Well, we'll have to wait and see, but we'll start off with prayer and then we'll get to our lesson.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We thank you and for all your benefits. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that directs us and so that we're able to make high quality decisions. We have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and we walk as kings in life by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this day. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, name of all names. Amen.
Amen. Well, you might be wondering, why would 100 be better? Well, as you know, we've taught on neuroplasticity before, and to have things be effective in our life, we need to repeat them. For example, if I said, what did you have for lunch 3 weeks ago? What would you say?
I don't know.
You wouldn't know. Probably none of you know what you had, unless maybe you went to a big banquet, you had a business meeting, something that really stood out. If you didn't think about it again for 3 weeks, it's just kind of fades away into no memory at all.
Yeah, it's not really something big in your life.
Right. It's kind of like when you go in, like you go to places and they have sidewalks around and you're supposed to walk out to the parking lot a certain way and people go, I don't want to walk all the way around, so they cut through. Well, the more people that do it and the more times it's used, pretty soon there's a new superhighway to your car.
Right.
So it's kind of that way with your brain. So what we want you to do is study the word 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever time.
Meditate on the word.
Yeah, don't let it go away so that you build your superhighway. So
right.
When you need your healing, you're ready and equipped, or your neighbor needs a healing, or your child, whomever.
And your faith will come, will cause that. Your superhighway will give you the confidence that you will receive your healing.
Right, because how many of us watch some TV show and we kind of like it and we might even watch a rerun of it? Well, it might not even benefit our life. We might laugh a little, which is sort of like a medicine, but how much more important is it to know
the Word of God
and what Jesus did to help people get their healing? So today's study comes from Matthew and Luke, because Mark and John really didn't record this healing. So it's an important thing. And as we read through it and look through it, listen to it and see how the stories are slightly different. Because we know as people are at events, they catch different things that stand out to them. And we want to catch the things that people saw as important and apply them to our life. So we'll go off to Matthew.
Amen.
To begin with.
In Matthew 8:5-13, the Roman centurion's servant. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof and speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou believest, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And in Luke, it says it in Luke in 7:1-10. Now when he had entered all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went unto them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, troubleth not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under my soldiers, and saying unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick.
Right, that's a great miracle that Jesus performed. And we're noticing how was this accomplished? It was accomplished with what?
Great faith.
Great faith and words.
And words.
So that we're going to kind of jump right now, we'll talk a little, but this is a chart we've made up, and we'll try to put a link to it on our website, truthwins.com, so you can copy it if you'd like. We're kind of compiling a book about all the healings that Jesus did, but it's kind of interesting to note in one version, Matthew, that the centurion came to Jesus, but actually it's not exactly, I don't think, how it happened. It's probably more like Luke, where the centurion sent the elders of the Jews to Jesus to beseech him to heal his servant. And he didn't even really require Jesus to be there, which is something important for us, because we can't really call Jesus to come to us at this point. He's up at the right hand of the Father. So we kind of have to have the faith like the centurion, where we know that if God said we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then we just believe, we have the faith.
Right.
So let's see, what was the first step to getting the healing for the centurion? What did he do?
The first step was, it says, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That's in Matthew 8:6. The elders, a senior Israelite Sanhedrinist, pleaded their case with Jesus to come and heal the servant. That's in Luke 7:4-5. And we see the first step was to request the healing.
Right. So if we're going to do it, if we want to go like to the elders of the church, of course we have to let them know what we're requesting. If the two or more agree in prayer, you can't agree in prayer if you don't know what you're praying about.
Well, you're going to agree the word of God over the situation.
Right. So the servant was sick with palsy. They said, Jesus, we are requesting a healing, that you pray for him and he be healed.
And Jesus said before he got there, before he even, he said, I will come, well, and he will be healed.
Well, so that's like kind of our next step. Let's see what the next step
says. Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only. And that's in Matthew verses 8 and 9. And also in Romans 3:24 in the Message Bible, but in our time, something new has been added. what Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us, and not only for us, but for everyone who believeth in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this, since we've complied this long, sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in the right standing with him. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus.
Well, isn't Christ. That a pretty awesome... That's a different translation. I don't usually use it, but I thought it's kind of like all the prophets prophesied that the Messiah was coming, God was sending him, and then like the centurion knew if Jesus just spoke it, thy servant by will, he knew the authority, and that's kind of what they're saying. The centurion didn't feel of his own self that he could do it, but he could have Jesus speak and he would be well. So if by chance, it's kind of for us to know if we don't have enough faith on our own, because we're kind of in a different dispensation because Jesus has now died. So we can really claim our healing. We're healed by the stripes of Jesus ourselves. But if we don't have the faith to do it, we can go get hands laid on us. And then what's our part to do?
Believe it.
Believe, be as wise and as smart as the...
Know that it come to fruition.
Right, so
And when we prayed, it came to fruition when we prayed, regardless of if we see it or not.
Right, but we, because we're knowing that it goes back to our quantum, when you take sickness or a bad report and everything and you add the word of God into it, the God particle, everything changes. It comes out health.
Right.
It's amazing how it's done. So let's see. We're going to move on to, I believe, the third step. Jesus answers.
I will come and heal him. I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Matthew verse 10. Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. That's Matthew 13th verse. And Matthew 17:20 in the Message Bible says, because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move, there is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. And in Luke 11:9-13 in the Message says, here's what I'm saying. Ask and you will get. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, and do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you won't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?
Right, and so that's about having faith like the centurion. We have to have faith. And we did listen to really kind of an interesting man the other day. He died in 1979, and he was talking about he thought he was good with God, and he died. They pronounced him dead for 15 minutes. It was kind of interesting. And he went up to towards heaven, and he said that he was supposed to go, that there were two angels who were taking him to God, up to God, to tell his case. Because if we go back to where we saw, I guess I could go back. I'll go back up to our very first scripture. We see it's talking about gnashing of teeth, and like the centurion will get, and it says that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and get in. But the people of today, being all the people that were the people that were there, that really, like, you can do kind of, well, because I think they had a problem of doing deeds because they were under the law. So everything was a law thing. So this man went up and was pleading his case and said,
well, he was not concentrating. He was doing a lot of works. He said he called him a centurion. Called him a Pharisee.
Right.
And he was not concentrated to God's, the kingdom of God.
Right. It wasn't
really
in his heart.
He was doing a job.
Well, no, he was being what we would call, which is a lot of people say, being a good person. He taught Sunday school. He was a preacher. I think he was a policeman, maybe, everything. Like, if you look at him, most people go, this is a really good man. And at the beginning, very first verse we were reading, all these Pharisees were thinking they were really good and they had a great faith and they were everything, but they really didn't. They were having faith in their deeds, not really faith in the love of God. So I think
not in the kingdom of God.
Right. And so this centurion, who really isn't even Jewish, sees that, he knows that God loves him. He knows the authority of your word and the what will happen. And it's just kind of amazing that it did happen. And so I guess we'll go on to our last scripture. So which one are we going to?
Isaiah. 50,
okay,
55.
So I got to find Isaiah. There it is. Yeah.
Isaiah 55, 11. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them.
Right. So we have to know that if God says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, that's his word. He sent it out. Then you're healed.
Well, you can't have mental sin. We've said many times, you can know it, but not live it. In other words, you're not consecrated to it. You're not, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you have to be to the point in your life that you are doing it for God, not for your benefit necessarily, or anybody else. Where give and it shall be given unto you, but it's really to the kingdom of God, meaning God's way of thinking.
Right, the righteous way that God would have you do it. So you need to put God first, and then part of putting God first is to believe him. Like he said, if I say you're healed, because Jesus just said to the centurion, your servant is healed, and the servant believes. So that's what, because we're teaching you how to get your healing. How are you going to get your healing? You go, let's say you go and you have the elders lay hands on you. And when they say amen, what happens then?
You're healed.
Right. You receive your healing.
You
believe.
Have it.
Yes,
it's
right
done.
There.
It, you have to know that. You can't have mental sin, as I said.
Yeah.
You've got to know it. And the way you get there, as I've said before, is that you study the word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have faith, and your hope in your life is the word of God, the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is your hope, and so therefore you focus on that as the key to all your success.
Right. So we have to do it 100 times. Why is 100 times good? because one time won't get you there, most likely. I mean, we do have to have the faith of a child. So if you're fortunate enough to not have any neuroplasticity that's tried to wipe out God's word, one time, because I remember my daughter was a small child and she believed anything the first time it was told her because she had nothing else, no other highways put in by people saying, because like I was watching something the other day, and I don't even want to say what it is, but it's like a commercial. The commercial's telling you it's blah 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 season and you should be blah blah blah, because I don't even want to say what you should be, because you shouldn't be, you should be well. So that's what you should be.
And age doesn't make criteria for your life either, you know.
It's not a joke to say I'm having a senior moment.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I can't remember.
I have to say that. That's dumb to say that.
Right, because really our brain, it's like phenomenal, and using the Holy Spirit, because we have the mind of Christ. Do you think Christ has a problem with it, knowing anything?
Well,
no.
Yeah. I mean, no. You know, age, time has no criteria.
Right.
If it's done, it's done. Whether it's 1 minute or 5 hours or 5 years.
But I think
it's done.
But I do think if we run around and say, I'm having a senior moment, I'm having a senior moment.
Well, then you'll have a senior moment because you'll start forgetting everything.
Right. But you don't have to. You can say, I have the mind of Christ. Because actually, there was another thing I was studying this week. It was about NASA did a study about. It starts with a T. It's part of your brain. And they said when you're young and you're automatically a genius, and as you go to school and life,
think out of the box.
It ends up shutting down and not working. But if we run around and say, I have the mind of Christ, of course our brain's going to activate and make us a genius. It's not going to not do that. So I think you just need to go,
I'm smart. What Abraham did. He called those things that be not as though they were. That's the key. Calling those things that be not as though they were.
In other words, the
word of God. You're calling the word of God. If something's trying to go against the word of God, we have to call it against it. In other words, that's what God gave Adam the responsibility on the physical realm. He's to take care of the things that get out of line. And if anything gets out of line, you call the word and say, the word supersedes any of this thing that's out of line.
Right, because
with
really,
the word of God.
Really, because what we always sow is the word. Because I know I was taught before we can sow money, but we really don't sow money. We bring our tithes into the storehouse and prove God, and he opens the windows of heaven because we speak the word over what we gave. We give, and it's given unto us. It's the word that we sow. We sow the word. We can give, like we can give our time and give, and it shall be given unto you. So God honors it.
So you give the word of God.
But not that. That's not what I'm saying. You give time and God will make it so you'll have time to do the things you need to in your house. Like if you volunteer to make cookies for graduation, because that's where we're at, somehow God will, because unless you go around saying, oh, I have to make these cookies, I won't have time to do anything that I need to do, then you won't. But if you go, I'll get up and I'll make these cookies and it'll go so fast. And while I'm there, I'll study my word. I'll read the Bible while the cookies are in the oven and I'll just get everything done. And it'll be a wonderful day and I'll be giving to them and blessing all these people graduating. And then,
so that's thinking in the consecration of the kingdom of God, because you're blessing everybody.
Right. And then the blessing you get back as you go to the graduation and as you watch the kids get their diploma and be proud, you rejoice with them. It's just an all around positive thing.
And things just start happening your way, the way God wants for you.
Well, right. Because then you're really doing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those things. And
love,
as you
joy,
do them,
peace, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, faithfulness, temperance, and meekness.
Right. And so as we work on those things, it comes back to us too, and we speak it over other people, and it's just wonderful. So,
right.
So this is a good day. We've had a good day. We will continue on in learning how to get our healing, how Jesus helped people in the Bible. But we have one last verse to leave you with.
Says in Matthew 15:28 in the Message Bible, says Jesus gave in. Oh woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Right then, her daughter became well.
Right. So that's about the lady that she was saying, even the dogs get the crumbs under the table.
And Jesus said, whoa,
so
great
your
faith.
Right. And so this is about...
kind of drawn her to that.
Right. Like, you need to have the faith. Like, you're not... like the centurion said, I wasn't worthy. And Jesus says, yes, you're worthy. Everybody is worthy that loves God and puts God first in their life. Not by our actions, not by how many Sunday school classes we can teach or how much we gave in church. It's really a love, father-child love relationship
right.
with God. He becomes your father and you love him and you want to please him and you spend time with him and it's just great.
It says in the scripture, says you've done it unto the least of you. In other words, somebody's in the ditch and you help them. You're doing it for God.
Right. So we say truth wins.
Truth wins.
Like and subscribe.
Truth wins.
Share it with other people. Our website put up, like we have our first thing. We're kind of creating a book about, like with the charts and the different things. Just for you to have. We're not trying to sell it. God's free. That's the good part. God's free. He gives freely.
God owns it, has it all, gives it all.
Right. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. He loves you.
We walk as kings and priests before God.
Right. He loves you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be well. He wants your family well, your sister well, your uncle well, your neighbor well.
The whole body of Christ.
Right. So,
The so-called sinners are being drawn like
the centurion.
We want to be like you. We want to be like Christ.
Or even the woman that came that he kind of called a dog.
But yeah, well, he was trying puppy.
He called her a puppy, but he was trying to get her to think, well, even the puppies get the crumbs. You can have the crumb of healing. Everybody can have it. God wants everybody well. He died on the cross to make everybody well.
Right.
So we say... truth wins. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And we'll see you again.
And we love you.
Next week. And we love you. And we hope you share.
Shalom.
Everything in you. Now that you're knowing more about healing, we hope when you're out, you might see someone who looks like something's wrong. And you'll say to them, would you like me to pray for you? So that's, we're going to be doing that. And
we're going to pursue that.
And we're going to see the glory of God fall
work in
our
presence.
Neighborhood.
Well, he's always in our presence.
Right. So have a great day, and we'll see you next Wednesday.